Dr. Rick Lehman is joining me now. He's the medical director for St. Louis Sports Medicine and the team doctor for the Florida Panthers and a regular contributor here to the Martin Kilcoyne Show. Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking. When my doctor asks me that, I say that, and he always tells me, no, you're not. So you can't prescribe anything for me right now based on my just saying I'm doing okay.
Well, if you're doing okay, that's good, but, you know, you got to just tell us, hey, this is what's going on, and we'll do our best.
All right. I want to ask you about a sports medicine-related question here, because when I knew you were coming on, I thought you might be the guy who could answer this. You know, Usain Bolt, the fastest man in the world, has 9 gold medals, but he found out this week he's going to have to give one of them back because of one of the other people on his relay team at the 08 Olympics in Beijing apparently has tested positive for some banned substance. Do you know about this story?
I know about it very well because, A, I was at the Olympics. B, I remember the testing. I know Usain well as well, so yeah, I know the story pretty well.
Okay, so here's my question. They ran the race in the summer of 2008. It's now the winter of 2017. Why are we finally just getting the results now?
So this is insane, and this is a beef that I have with the USOC and the IOC, International Olympic Committee, and that. So actually, this guy had tested positive prior to the Olympics, and was on the watch list. And there's this complicated system, but basically we know the guys that are probably at risk for testing positive before World Championships, Olympic Games, etc. And he probably should have been on the relay team. They need him on the relay team. And to answer your question specifically, this has gone through a number of appeals. They waited to send the B sample, blah, 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 blah. The whole thing should have taken 4 to 6 months, and it's taken, you know, X amount of years, 7 years, 8 years. And the problem is it's a legal thing, because what has to happen now is all the guys got to give back their medals, they got to give back their little plaques you get, your pin, and all this stuff. And you basically make it so that the race never happened, that no one moves up to get the gold, etc. And the answer is it's just a legal proceeding with lots of appeals and lots of attorneys and lots of bureaucratic stuff, and that's what's taken so long. But it's obscene.
It seems ridiculous, although I can understand that if you're on the second place, the silver medal team, do they now move up and they get gold medals and bronze gets silver, and whoever finished fourth will get bronze? Does everybody take a step forward?
No, and that's the other thing. After spending all this time, the only real implication is the guy who got the gold, or the Olympic relay team that got the gold, has to give everything back. The guys that got the silver still got the silver. The guy who got fourth didn't get a bronze, and nothing really changes. And then in the record book, there's just nothing for the gold, which is weird. After going through this whole thing, you know, that would be the logical answer, but that's not the way the Olympic Committee does it.
Oh, but this is going to be great for all of our upcoming St. Louis trivia nights. You can ask who won, what country won the gold in the 4x100 in the Beijing Games in the summer of 2008, and whatever you answer is wrong unless you said nobody.
That's exactly right.
Right. I love that. All right, let's get off sports medicine for a second and talk about genetically modified apples. There was a story this week that there are now going to be GMO apples that never brown. And I will tell you this, I'm a large apple consumer. I don't mean I just eat large apples, but I eat a quantity of apples because I want to keep the doctor away, Rick.
This is actually a pretty interesting study for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think we all have a little bit of, and I think eating apples for our listeners out there is a great thing. I think it's very healthy, got good fiber, good for you.
Yep.
Probably there is some truth that, you know, your apple a day is probably going to keep your doctor away. It's a very good thing to eat.
Okay.
And so part of the problem is you cut the apple in half, it starts to brown. And for people that are apple aficionados, they probably don't care to eat the apple anyway. And really, it's oxidation, doesn't mean anything. But for most people, when the produce community did their studies, people were throwing the apples out, and people would not buy apples that they thought, you know, they may not consume because of this oxidation. So being very, very industrious, they went out and did this monstrous research to find that if they put certain things in the apple, and there's an answer. There's a real point here that will stop the oxidization of the apple. Now, the question is, which we don't know yet, is what is this that they're putting in the apple to stop it from getting brown that real apples don't have?
Well, they're not really putting anything in it, aren't they? Adjusting?
Well, they're changing the genetics of the apple.
There you go.
It is, right.
So do you have a problem with that?
Well, no. I think as long as the apple is going to be the same apple, it's just modified that they put these two apples together and they were less brown, and then these two apples together and they were less brown, I think it's perfect. As long as they're not going to pre-treat the apples, then everything is fine. And right now, if you look at the research, they're not going to pre-treat the apples. But that industry does have a history of putting stuff. You know, they make the tomatoes redder and they, et cetera. And we have to be a little bit careful about that because then it gets into some stuff that will take 10, just like the Olympic thing, will take 10 years to find out the answer.
Yeah, but as of right now, we have no evidence that genetically modified food of any kind is harmful to anybody. And yet we have people freaking out about this. You know what I think it's akin to? I think it's akin to this whole gluten-free mania that has hit America in the last 10 years. You as a doctor know, unless you have celiac disease or a gluten allergy of some kind, you don't have to eat gluten-free food, and it doesn't help you lose weight or anything else.
Well, I think you hit it on the head. I think, number one, eating gluten-free is ridiculous. It's expensive. The food tastes bad. And unless you truly have celiac disease, it is absolutely a complete waste of your time.
Yeah.
And I think you're right about GMO foods, in that GMO foods to date, which isn't this, you know, there are things that they put in different fruits, pesticides, et cetera, to grow the stuff. And as long as none of that stuff shows up in the apples, which I don't think they will because people are kind of onto it, you know, I think this is actually a pretty, it's like a seedless watermelon. You know, you eat it, doesn't have any seeds, it's just a lot easier to eat, and you're more likely to buy that than the ones with the seeds, because that's kind of a pain. And I think you're going to have the exact same answer. And you're 100% right. People that are freaking out about GMO and some of the fads are just misinformed, and it's sad because people are out there thinking they're going to lose weight eating gluten-free bread, and the answer is you're not.
Yeah. There was a comedian who died a few years ago, but he was very funny. His name was John Panette, and he talked about food on stage a lot. And when this whole gluten-free thing was starting, he said, you know, I tried gluten-free bread, and I got to tell you, I don't know what gluten is, but it must be delicious. It must be what makes bread delicious, because without it, it's not.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt.
And by the way, while we're on the GMO food thing, I have to point out that this GMO non-browning apple, we're actually the guinea pigs for this, because they're only going to sell it here in the Midwest, right?
Well, the Midwest, it's interesting because the Midwest is actually a very, very good test market. People are very conservative, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So that's where it's going to start, and if it works out and people gravitate to it, which I think it will, I think it's a great idea, I think you'll see it spread, but yes, that's correct.
Yeah, I know when my daughter was very young, you know, we gave her a lot of apples, and she wanted them cut up before we gave them to her, and, you know, the timer started right then, because it only takes 5 or 10 minutes before the browning starts, and then she didn't want to eat it, so this will help parents a lot.
No doubt, no doubt. And that is a concern. You know, people see it brown and they're like, wow, is that, and you can't stop it. You can put it in a plastic bag, do whatever you want, it's going to oxidize. And really, it doesn't mean anything. It's not a problem, but it is, you know, it is brown.
Yep. Now, the last thing I want to ask you about is I saw this week that some people out at Stanford are working on the, I guess you call them like a Fitbit kind of wristband thing that will be able to tell you other things about your health and warn you before you get sick. Now, is this pseudoscience or is this real, Rick?
This is real. So it's really an extrapolation of something you wear on your wrist that's going to look at your heart rate or something. You know, they have sensors that tell you what your blood sugar is going to be so you don't have to get a pinprick. So what they're working on is they're looking at different enzymes and the ability to subcutaneously or cutaneously and subcutaneously determine changes in those enzymes. So what's your blood sugar? Do you have a small elevation in your cardiac enzymes? Maybe that's going to portend for a stroke or a heart attack. And I think as the technology's here and the technology gets more evolved, you know, getting it from the lab onto your wrist or whatever this wearable is going to be. Some people say they're sneakers. Some people say a band on their legs because they need more skin surface. Then you're going to be able to tell a significant number of things. Now, there's some things you won't be able to tell, obviously, but they're going to be able to measure all those standard things that you go to the doctor and get blood tests for. And looking at that pattern will tell you, hey, you know, this happens before you have a heart attack, or this happens before you have a stroke, or whatever the disease process is that they're looking at. So it's actually in the lab pretty far along, and now it just needs to be basically evolved so you can make it a wearable. But those guys are so far ahead of the curve. I've been to that lab, and it's crazy.
So this is only stuff that, as you said, is the same sort of thing you'd get out of a blood test. It's not going to be able to tell you, hey, next Tuesday when you're playing tennis, you're going to blow out your Achilles tendon, or, you know, Thursday morning, you're going to get a kidney stone. That sort of stuff is still not going to be able to come out of your Fitbit.
That's not going to help you. No, those and unless they can pre-program it to the labs that you already had and the trends, you know, they might tell you that your calcium's up and Paul, when your calcium gets up, you get a kidney stone, so, you know, blah, blah, blah. But they're not going to be able to tell you you're going to get a kidney stone. Certainly they're not going to be able to predict somebody blowing out their knee or dislocating their shoulder. But if you have a history of heart disease, or you have a history of gout, or you have a history of something that's a measurable disease process, they will be able to better measure that. And with the laboratory information, and with, hey, we've been watching this for 2 or 3 years or 6 months, and this is the pattern, they might say, hey, you're going to have a gouty attack in the next 2 months if you don't do this and this.
Rick, I'm just making a note here. This is a million-dollar idea we're giving away here, the kidney stone predictor, because I've had kidney stones, and it's the most painful thing a human male can go through. You know, women will tell you childbirth. Men can tell you who've had it. Kidney stone, the worst pain you'll ever have in your life.
So no doubt.
If you could tell me that I'm going to get those, and then you could tell me how to avoid getting that, that's a million-dollar idea we just gave away, Rick.
I know. We shouldn't have said anything.
All right. Well, let's stop talking then. Rick Lehman, who is the medical director of St. Louis Sports Medicine and team doctor for the Florida Panthers, and a contributor every Thursday here on the Martin Kilcoyne Show. Thanks for your time today.
Paul, take care. Have a good weekend.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.